Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I've got some things, believe it or not, that I want to talk about tonight. So you didn't come to church just to kind of sit here and get nothing. We come to lift up the name of Jesus, and then we come to get encouraged and leave here equipped to continue to go out and do the ministry. How many would say that tomorrow for Thanksgiving, you need some equipping? Come on. I need to be equipped tomorrow because I'm going to run into some of my family. You may not want to admit it, but we're going to run into some family that I need to be empowered tomorrow. I need to be ready to love Jesus and then love them. That's tough sometimes. It really is, because the hardest people I have found in life to minister to are the ones who know everything about you. They know your past. They know your failures. And when you have surrendered your past failures and your junk in life and you've said, okay, I'm burying that old man. He's not alive anymore. That old person's not me. I am raised a new life in Christ. You say that. You walk in that. You know that. But then you get around someone who doesn't know your new life nearly as well as they know your old life. All of us probably have those people in our lives. And what I want to encourage you is, that's why you get equipped to go out there and you can live in a way that speaks life to them. And they see that you're not the same person. Now, I just happen to need the Word of God to live beyond where my past would have me live. And I was doing some studying this week. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to actually continue, but before I get into what I'm talking about, I want to continue with what I kind of talked about Sunday. There's benefits of Thanksgiving. Benefits of Thanksgiving. And to get that, I'm looking around, and I've got some mature people here in the Lord tonight. I mean, really, as I'm looking around this room, I'm not seeing guests and visitors here. I'm seeing people that have been connected to the Lord Jesus for a long season. And for probably several seasons of your life, you've been serving God. And with that, I just think that there are levels of faith that we walk in. There are levels of faith. And tonight, I believe that I'm talking to some people who have experienced a deeper level of faith than some. I was sharing with our Leaders Academy students this week. I think it was real important that they got this. That there are two levels that and there's more than that, but there were two levels that I was talking about this week. And the first level of faith, I said, is a saving faith. You got to have faith to be saved. Everybody kind of says, yeah, I'd agree with that. And God proved himself to you. He showed himself real, and you gave your heart and life to Jesus. And we know a lot of people who have done that, and I visit with a lot of people that have said, yeah, I'm saved, I know Jesus. And they had enough faith to say, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of Jesus. And so they had enough faith to get saved. And then they start coming to church, possibly. They try to continue to believe in God. And that's the saving faith that I'm talking about. It's our faith that we walk in based on the evidence that Jesus came to this earth on our behalf. He died for our sins. He was buried and on the third day rose out of the grave to intercede for you and I and to do what we couldn't do. He paid the penalty. Many Christians, though, live their whole life never getting any deeper than just the faith that it took to get them saved. Now, I know that I'm talking to a bunch of people and say, I get that. That's true. I mean, they had enough faith and they saw God demonstrate himself enough through what he did on the cross that they have enough faith to say, you know what, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus and I need him to save me. And they get saved. This faith continually is having to be reminded to the person who gives their heart and life to Jesus. They got to be reminded that they are saved. And this person who just operates in a saving faith All they'll do is say, God, thank you for saving me. Now, I'm not here to say that don't be grateful for that. You be grateful for that. God, thank you for saving me. But the person who only experiences saving faith and doesn't mature in the Word of God, that's all they really thank God for. God, thank you for saving me. I get to go to heaven now. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Praise God, I get to go to heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because keep in mind, we're going to be thankful. We're going to be thankful for what? Why are you thankful? For what Jesus did. And he died on the cross so I don't have to go to hell and I get to go to heaven. And here's the thing. There are churches all over the country that has a church full of people who experience saving faith and they never go any deeper. I want to just challenge you, as I was challenging our Leaders Academy students, that's not you. See, you got saved a long time ago, or maybe you got saved a year or two ago. I'm looking around, and I've got a church full of people I believe that's been saved for a while. They've been walking in saving faith for a while. Here's the second level, sustaining faith. Sustaining faith. You already know that you are saved, and you don't have to be reminded of what Jesus did every time you come to church because you are sustained in that faith. That faith is so a part of me that that's how I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I know. There's not a doubt is that the person who but the person who got saved when they're 8 and they periodically show up for church at Christmas and maybe Easter, they're walking in a saving faith and they're believing that God saved them, but they've never grown any deeper in their faith. A person who has sustaining faith no longer has to be proven on a weekly basis that he is God. God don't have to prove himself every week. They know that they know that he is God. They walk in that. And it's just a deeper level. Here's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and it's the second part of verse 12. And I used to sing this song when I was younger. I know we don't probably do this, but it's an old hymn that you'll recognize as I say it in the King James Version. But you have to hear what's being said here. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day, or against that day, depending on which New King James or King James. Until that day is what I'm going to say. I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I love this because Paul said, hey, just you need to know this. I know who I believe in. And not only do I know that with the head knowledge and the fact that he was here and walked on this earth and Jesus was here and he was buried and he rose again. Not only do I know that, I'm persuaded. I know who I believe in and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me. Well, will you say keep me? No, keep that which I've committed. Well, didn't you commit your heart and life to Jesus? See, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me. He is able to keep me. I don't have to worry every day whether or not I'm saved or not saved. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until the day. Until the day he comes and gets me. I know that there is a knowing. And we got to start getting thankful that we can walk in a knowing, not having to be proven every week. And we got to get to a place where we're not just walking, come on, as Christian people, in a saving faith, but we're walking in a sustaining faith. My faith sustains me. It helps. It's a day in and day out. I'm not worried about whether or not I'm going to lose how I operate tomorrow when I'm around my family. I know who I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me from jumping in and being the old man that I buried. See, I'm a different person, and I'm not going to go in there and condemn someone. I'm not going to go in there and hate someone. I'm going to go in there with the love of Jesus And I'm going to show them that I'm committed. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did in my heart and life by saving me. But I'm even more thankful that now I don't have to worry about that. I don't sit here and wobble up and down. My faith sustains me day in and day out. And I'm able to go deeper. I'm able to go deeper. See, he cares about me. He cares about you. And you follow him because there's a relationship that's deeper than just something that's going to benefit you. It's going to benefit everything. And you decided to follow him. And by following him, it's a day in, day out relationship. And you're going through life and all of a sudden something happens and Jesus, thank you. I look back and I recognize that this last year has been a kind of tough year. Been a tough year. My wife and I were talking about that. It's been a tough year. But I look back and I think about some things that happened. I had some pulmonary embolisms. Big deal. It was a big deal to a lot of people, but never even entered my mind that it was a big deal. I just didn't think. I know my family was highly concerned. But you know why I wasn't? Because I knew who I believed in. And I knew that. And I was persuaded because in his word, he persuades me day in and day out. As I read his word, I just get more and more persuaded that he's able to keep me. And if I live, it'll be for Christ. And if not, it'll just be better. Maybe not for everybody here. And God, I'd see you, if you could see fit to go ahead and heal me right now, this would be great. And I think that you will. And I'm believing wholeheartedly that that's for me. And I'm going to receive that. And I stood on the word of God. But what I'm telling you is there wasn't a fear that operated inside of me. I can look back and look at this last year. Now, that's pertaining to me. But then I saw some other areas of weakness pertaining to other people that I was needing to have some faith for and believe with. And I can look back and go, did I not have what? I had it far as myself was concerned because I know who I believe in. And I'm persuaded. And I don't even get worried about where I'm. But there's a concern at times for other people. And what am I doing? What am I doing to implement faith? I just think, and I want you to get an understanding of what I'm talking about prayerfully. Today I'm talking to a group of people who understand what I'm talking about and they get this. There are benefits of being thankful, and you start looking to everything that you're doing daily to the point that I'm not wondering if God's going to show up. I just know that God's already there. It's a sustaining faith just means that I'm not, well, God, please prove yourself. He don't have to prove himself. He is God. And I'm just going to walk in the joy that he said I can walk in. You start learning more and more about his promises and what he says every day, and it sustains how you operate in life, and you start operating in a daily faith. And then when it gets time for Thanksgiving, you go, oh, it's time for Thanksgiving. I guess I'll be, I was thankful yesterday. Good. I'll just be more thankful again today. And hopefully everybody else will get kind of thankful now. Because, we operate like that, and there's a benefit to doing it all the time, not just this week and not just tomorrow. Chapman today, I walked in on his class and he was having them write an essay of things that they were thankful for. And I loved what he said because when I walked in, he goes, and I want you all to understand, this is not thank-liking. It's thanksgiving, not thank-liking. Not just what you like. It's not just about what you like. This is thanksgiving. See, I'm going to give thanks. It's not about what I'm liking or like giving. It's thanksgiving. It's not maybe I've got that, but it's what you're liking. It's not about what you just like. Well, I like someone, so I'm gonna. It's not like giving. It's not just about giving a like to someone. This is about giving thanks. What's the difference? Is it something I like? Something I'd be thankful for? No. You might like something that hasn't been done for you. You might like something that someone else's. You might like something. What I'm telling you is God did something specifically for you. And we've got to have an gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness. And the way we do that is we acknowledge God at a deeper level than just salvation, although it wouldn't have ever started without salvation. So please get what I'm saying. I'm not saying not to be thankful for salvation. Just saying, we need to be deeper. There's a lot more available. And we just are, right now, the kingdom of God here on earth, I'm seeing them getting people saved, and I'm thrilled about that. But I want to get people to a place where they sustain their faith. I'm not having to just talk people into living for God. They make a choice to live for God every day, and we can go a lot deeper. We can go a whole lot deeper. Psalm 50, 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Ooh, there's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That means going out of your way and giving up something to go and say, God, right now I'm not spending that 30 minutes watching TV, doing this. I'm giving something up. I'm sacrificing to say, you are worthy of it all. Well, I just sang that song. We sang that song without instruments. Maybe you ought to just go sing that song, get away, and just spend some time. God, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy. You are awesome. Maybe you could start, those of you that know the old hymn, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I just sit there and I think, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know. I've got a knowing in me, and God, I'm so grateful. And you have persuaded me. Boy, when I was reading this morning, God, I was reading and your word just, that area as you spoke to me, it just persuaded me that you've got what I'm doing. Are you hearing me tonight? So there's got to be a place where we dig in. We dig in deeper. All right, tomorrow, here's what I like to do. I like to give you some things that you can just think about. Now, how many of y'all are having some type of festivity tomorrow? All right, good. So I'm talking to most of you. How many are going to have some type of festivity before Sunday? Maybe Friday, Saturday? I've got a couple of them. I'm all about them. Here is what we're going to do. What we're going to do, and we've probably already done some of this, but let's just take some of what we're doing and apply a biblical principle to it. 6 points real quick. First, we're going to invite some family and friends over, aren't we? Think about this for the kingdom of God. Let's just get a little deeper. Matthew chapter 9 says, the harvest is great, the workers are few. Pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. One of our jobs, one of our duties as Christian is to actively work on getting more and more and more and more. Monday night, I got to meet some young people who I'd never met before. And boy, I just played with them. I had fun with, some 10, 12, 13-year-olds. And I was having a great time just visiting with them and joking and talking to them about deer hunting. They're all deer hunters. And I was just loving my time with them. And then I had the whole time an intent that this wouldn't be the only time I ever got to see them. I want to be someone who makes an impact because, see, I'm a sustaining faith guy. I'm not just going to be a... I knew most of them went to church, but were they living at 9, 10, 11, 12 years old? Were they living for the kingdom of God? And as I was around them a little bit, I wasn't seeing them just out in left field, but I wasn't seeing... And so I just thought, you know what? I might be an influence in their life. And so what I started doing is I started inviting. You know, you invited some family and friends over. Let's just take that same principle. Who you been inviting to the kingdom of God? We'll invite family and friends over and we'll work on getting a schedule. Whose house are we going to eat at this year? Where are we going? What are we doing? What are you bringing? What am I bringing? What about to the kingdom of God? What are you bringing to the kingdom of God? What are you doing to go out there and encourage some young people, maybe some people your age or maybe some older people? Invitation, we need to be inviting others to hear what God is doing. The second thing is we're going to prepare a feast. I right now in my refrigerator have this brisket that's all, it's marinated. It's laying there in it. We'll put it on the smoker and it's going to have a nice smoke flavor to it. And I am preparing. I know that many of you are preparing. I wanted to prepare brisket this year. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. You know, there's preparation that Christians need. And that's why you're in church tonight. That's why you gave up some time that you could have been cooking and preparing your own meal this evening, because you wanted to make sure you were prepared for ministering. You wanted to study to show yourself approved. The turkey just doesn't stroll up and sit on the porch, and the potatoes don't just jump out of the ground and into your mailbox. You got to prepare all this stuff. And somehow people think that in Christianity, God's just going to float the Bible right over in front of you. He's just going to supernaturally give you everything that you are needing without you doing anything to prepare for what God has for you. Come on. I just, as you're getting ready for tomorrow, start thinking, what have you been preparing for the kingdom of God? I looked over and I saw Sherry. Sherry's like, do not call me out. Tonight I'm just doing that. I'm going to look up and you just have to deal with me. But Sherry, I love what she does on Facebook. I love that as she's reading something, she'll pull something out of there, or she'll pull something she's studying, and what she'll say is she'll put that online. Why? Because she's telling people, I'm getting prepared. I'm getting prepared. I'm getting prepared. What do you do? I'm not saying you need to do it on Facebook. That's her ministry. But whatever you're doing, are you preparing for what God has for you? We're to be his hands, his feet. As believers, we got to be prepared for the things of God. Are you prepared? Let me ask you. If tomorrow at Thanksgiving they call your name out and ask you to say a prayer over the Thanksgiving dinner, some people go, that'd be horrible. You need to get prepared to pray out loud. Christian people need to be ready. If somebody calls on your name, I understand when you say no, it just shows me you've not prepared to pray out loud. It takes some work in that area. I get that, and I'm not putting you down. Because I don't even know who, it may not be anybody here, it may be somebody listening to this. Get prepared to pray when someone says, hey, would anybody like to pray? I'd be ready to pray. I've been praying that somebody asked me to pray. I've been preparing. I've been standing in front of a mirror talking to God so I could do it publicly. What are you doing to prepare to pray when they ask you? What about if someone says, I don't really know that I know Jesus. I don't understand. And right then the Holy Spirit prompts that you need to talk to them about their salvation. Could you even share with them three scriptures that would lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus? Are you prepared to share Christ? There's a lot of preparation that goes in. What about when someone's talking and they're way off and they're not giving any biblical counsel? Are you ready to stand up and say, here's what the Word of God says? Well, I don't really know if I am. Well, then you need to study to show yourself approved. So when somebody needs some counsel, you can come in there and give some counsel. That's not just the preacher's job, that's a Christian's job. Are you prepared for the day that you see Jesus face to face? And will he say, come on in, welcome, my good and faithful, my sustaining faithful servant. Come on in. Come on. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Number three, a prayer of thanksgiving is offered. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. If you ever wondering what to pray about, just say, God, thank you. God, thank you. And then start telling him all the things that he has done. In many American homes, the Thanksgiving meal, the Christmas meal are the only meals when a prayer is publicly offered to God. We got to remember that what we believe hinges on a relationship, and a relationship is built through prayer. So if you had sustaining faith, then you would be talking all the time. If you just have faith that just got to a saving faith, then you need to work a little deeper. We got to remember. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. What if Jesus didn't pray that night? Well, I don't know what. We pray a prayer of salvation to receive Christ as our Savior. Prayer is the heart of our spiritual walk. If we don't pray, we start the process of dying. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Prayer brings life to a situation because it brings a legal transaction for God to come in and life comes in. When you don't pray, you're just starting a death process. I don't want that. That's why I pray before all my food. I want to bring life to me. Pray. It brings life into the situation. The fourth thing, meal is served. You get to eat. I don't know if anybody's looking forward to that, but there's some good food that's available tomorrow. And not only that, some of y'all are probably going to eat to over full. It gets to where it's just spilling out. It's so much. It's okay, I got to quit. You just fill up and fill up, and I just can't. This is a favorite phrase. I can't eat one more bite. Can't eat one more bite until you just go sit down for a little bit, and you say, okay, I can eat another one. And then you come, and just you start grazing. I don't know if anybody else grazes on Thanksgiving. But you get your meal. Psalm 145:5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Remember that it's not about you, it's about Jesus, and you need to eat daily of the Lord Jesus till he's overflowing. Ephesians 3:9, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. Come on, you know what it's like to eat till you're full. And many of us know what it's like to eat till we're over full. But have you ate enough on the Word of God that you're just, man, I'm so full. I don't know if I can think another. I'm just so, I don't know when's the last time you did that. I can look at a lot of retreats I've done that. But do you realize that you can do that on a weekly basis? Come on, get full of the Word of God. And as your tomorrow, as you're eating, ask yourself that question. Come on, you're a Christian. Your sustaining faith ought to make you thinking about God all the time. Are you full of the Word? Are you full of the Word? Number five. A time of fellowshipping with the family after the meal. That's always fun if you can stay awake. And you start talking and you're visiting and you're having a good time. 1 John 1:7. But if we are living in the light as God is in light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we're living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. I love coming to church, and I know there are people who fight that. But as you start growing and you get a sustaining faith, you'll love to be around God's people. There becomes a love for, I just can't wait to get around God's people. Fellowship is so important in your spiritual walk. Don't be a loner. You need God's people. Come on, you need God's people. And I have known people who know more people than anybody I know, and they're still loners. They got more friends on Facebook. They got more people in their life every day. They're in front of thousands. I've seen it at Branson for years. But then they walk away, and they're a loner. And they don't have the fellowship of God's people. I heard this statement a while back, and here's what it says. Satan's goal is always to isolate you. Any enemy wants to isolate you because it's an easier battle when you don't have a bunch of people with you. They want to isolate you. God's goal is always to insulate you. Isn't that a cool statement? The devil wants to isolate you, and God wants to insulate you. He wants you surrounded. He wants you surrounded. And the sixth one and the last one, it's time for a nap. Pastor, how are you going to make that one work? Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, and this is his words, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. There's nothing like an afternoon Thanksgiving nap. I mean, they're just, oh, you just full. It's right before the grazing starts, and you just kind of laying down. And I remember this in your spiritual walk. It's not God's design for you to live your life stressed out. It's not God's design. Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. This scripture tells that if I don't want to fall spiritually, I need to diligently be seeking God's rest in my life. There's got to be times that I separate from people and just go hang out with God. Just enter his rest. And I don't know if you've done that in a while, but maybe over the next few days, family's not there, find a time. For me, it's going to sit in a deer stand. I don't know what it is for you, but just find a time that you can go and enter God's rest. And not everybody does it the same way. Sometimes it's going into your prayer closet. Sometimes it's just getting out in your yard and getting your mind clear. I don't know what it is for you, but find a time to enter God's rest.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.